KLAK 1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. After a seven-day humanitarian pause during which Israel and Hamas exchanged around 340 hostages and prisoners, the hostilities are back on.
Israel has always said, and it's made no secret of the fact, that once the hostage exchanges are over, it would resume the war. I mean, Netanyahu, his officials have said repeatedly that the goal of, in their words, defeating, destroying Hamas is still there.
ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge in Tel Aviv. Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville signaled that his 10-month-long blockade of high-level military promotions could be coming to an end as soon as next week. West Texas federal judge Alia Moses has lifted her order barring Border Patrol agents from cutting the razor wire Texas installed on the border with Mexico to keep migrants out, so that practice will resume. Texas immediately appealed. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A group of seven unions is filing a lawsuit to end the state's near-total ban on collective bargaining for public employees. The lawsuit was filed in a Dane County court on Thursday. The unions argue that Act 10 led to lower pay, staffing shortages, and poor working conditions. They say that because police and firefighters are able to collectively bargain, but teachers are not, Act 10 violates the state's constitution. Meanwhile, Wisconsin teacher pay isn't keeping up with inflation. A new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum finds that median pay for teachers in the state is 12% less than in 2009, adjusted for inflation. Teachers in Wisconsin's largest school districts got raises this year. It still doesn't appear to be enough to keep up with the cost of living. The median wage for teachers in Wisconsin is $59,000. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks lose in Chicago. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks were down by 12, but came back again in the fourth quarter. A nice three-point shot from Brook Lopez to take the lead. But Alex Caruso hits from three at the buzzer. The Bulls go on to win 120-113. It was Milwaukee's first overtime game this season. College hoops, it's the Wisconsin Badgers taking on the Marquette Golden Eagles tomorrow in the Kohl Center. Tip-off 11:30 a.m. Marquette ranked third in the nation. NFL, the Packers and the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. Packers defensive coordinator Joe Barry on facing Kansas City.
They're the defending world champs. I mean, they're going to get everyone's absolute best every single week, which you would think that would be the case regardless, but they're not going to sneak up on anybody and surprise anybody.
This will be the Chiefs' Patrick Mahomes' first time ever playing at Lambeau Field.
Going to Green Bay, playing in a great environment, which I'm really excited about, against a team that's playing really good football right now.
That's Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy today with daytime highs approaching 33. Northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 21 tonight. Tomorrow, high of 35. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now, 14.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Ho, 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 ho! Auto Value has once again teamed up with Toys for Tots to help deliver hope to less fortunate children this Christmas. Now through December 15th, you can drop off a new unwrapped toy or cash donation at any participating Auto Value parts store. Your toy or cash donation will not only help Santa, but also allow one more child to experience the magic of Christmas. On behalf of everyone at Auto Value and the North Pole, we thank you.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Roses are red, violets are blue, and you bet she'll be talking farming with you. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Well, by this time tomorrow morning, we could see white. A lot of Wisconsin could see a little snow in the next 24 hours' time. Morning, everybody. It is a Friday. Welcome to December. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. The weather is very much going to look like a December forecast for today. Cloudy skies, 37 are expected high. By this afternoon, we're expecting snow showers are going to begin developing. Could see an inch or more of snow and accumulation tonight into Saturday morning. For Saturday, cloudy skies, 40 degrees. Sunday, another chance of precipitation. Could be rain, could be snow. It depends on where you're at. Sunday's highs around 38. Then Monday, cloudy skies and 39. Tuesday, cloudy and 37. Wednesday, more clouds and 39 degrees. But the precipitation possibilities look like they pretty much taper off after Sunday. We'll find out what Stu Mocker, ag meteorologist, has to say about that. You know, now that the weather is starting to feel more December-like, a lot of folks involved in agriculture have to think twice about taking care of their livestock. And I'm not just talking about the four-legged kind. Charity Seebecker is going to join us this morning with a story on how Wisconsin beekeepers are enlisting technology to keep their bees warm with a hive hugger. Stick around for that one.
Keeping Wisconsin strong.
When a company only does business in Wisconsin, that's Wisconsin Strong. Rural Mutual provides all lines of insurance, including commercial, farm, home, and auto. And your premiums stay right here to keep Wisconsin strong. Local agents, local underwriters, local claims adjusters.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Protovate Nutritional Seed Enhancer is an 80-20 talc graphite replacement that provides the critical nutrients corn and soybeans need for early and uniform emergence. Learn more at GetGreaterGrowth.com.
Celebrate our century and sesquicentennial farms across Wisconsin. There is a growing list of farms that have been family-owned or operated for over 100 or 150 years. You can find out about them all year long thanks to our friends at Compeer Financial. Meet the families, hear their stories, and take a trip down memory lane by logging onto MidwestFarmReport.com. New farms are featured each Friday on our morning show. Celebrate century and sesquicentennial farms with the Midwest Farm Report.
Weather. We have our eyes to the sky whether we're planting, growing, or harvesting our crops. I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire. I had the opportunity to chat with Drew Lerner. He's part of World Weather. He's the president and senior meteorologist. And we look back at 2023 weather, but I'm curious as to what you think our 2024 weather is going to look like. And what are some of those factors that affect it?
2024 is going to start off probably a little bit light on moisture. So across the upper Midwest, we're probably not going to see a really wet winter. So whatever the moisture profile is today, it's probably what it's going to be when we get to March. So we'll come into spring pretty much where we are at this moment in time. That doesn't necessarily present a big problem for some folks, but other problems for others. We still have a lot of drought out there across parts of the Western Corn Belt and down into the plains. So that could be an issue. You know, if we don't have moisture in the subsoil, then we're dependent on timely rain in the spring. So when we get into 2024 spring, the upper parts of the Midwest are still going to be dealing with a northwest flow pattern where cool and dry air is still going to be coming out of Canada periodically. It may not be exceptionally cold, but it isn't going to be real wet. And so the big concern that I have for the area up that way is that we will still be a little behind on moisture, and we will be dependent on timeliness of rain when we get close to spring. We don't want to get too wet when it's planting time, right? And I think that we'll go through a period of transition where we'll have an opportunity for some increase in precipitation, and it'll be helpful to everyone. But I'm a little bit concerned about how significant and efficient that may be, because the summer pattern is going to be somewhat similar to last year. we're going to have ridginess that's going to build up in the middle of North America. It may not be exceptionally strong, but we're probably going to deal with a lot of warm weather, and it is going to be lighter than normal rainfall. So we're still going to be behind the eight ball on the moisture situation. Now, we've already proven to ourselves over and over again that we can still do a nice job with crop production with little precipitation as long as it's timely. So I think that that's the way we should think about this as we go through the winter. I try to think positive and expect that we'll have a pattern somewhat similar to 2023, maybe a little less extreme, but I do think that we have another year in front of us where the central part of the U.S. is still going to be dealing with moisture shortages and some concern about the bottom line. But, you know, certainly the genetics that we have are able to still support a drier year, obviously, with the yields we've had.
Well, and the changes in the weather. We talk about factors from the Canadian wildfires to volcanoes. Tell me how some of these factors are really changing our weather.
They're all influential, that's for sure. In the case of the fires, you know, the smoke has a factor in limiting the heat of the day. It reduces some of the excess, so that can be helpful if you're in a hot year. If you're in a cooler year, that's not a good thing because it's going to hold those temperatures down. You're going to miss out on a little bit of degree day accumulation, so that could be a problem for some crops. In the case of just in general with the smoke, usually the smoke isn't so terribly thick for a long enough period of time to have a big negative impact, but it could, I suppose. But we do expect 2024 to be start off a little dry, and we'll probably run into some improved rainfall a little later in the summer. Canada will for sure. They will have a wetter summer, but it'll be dry in the spring. And so there'll be less smoke coming in from that direction, I would certainly think. So that won't be as much of a factor.
From volcanoes in Iceland to, you mentioned one that I hadn't heard about. So tell me about that one that really has had a big effect on ocean temperatures.
Yeah, the Hunga Tonga volcano occurred in January, about January 15th of 2022. So it's already been almost a full year since that occurred. Actually, 2 years almost. Yeah, I don't do math very well. That shows you what kind of weather you're going to get. What the research scientists have found post-event is that this was the largest volcano eruption in modern history, even bigger than Krakatoa, which occurred in 1883. And the problem is that we don't have any instrumented data prior to this to make any comparisons to. So you can imagine the speculation is running rampant as to how this volcano influenced the weather. Now, I've got some theories of my own, but I'll tell you right off the bat before I share those that I don't know what I'm talking about. We have no data and no proof that what I'm saying is correct. And I'm going to relay a little bit of information from the research that has been done. Now, this is not my research, but the research scientists post that volcano found that the stratosphere, that's the level of the atmosphere that's above where we live, so it would be more than 60,000 feet up, the stratosphere gained about 10% moisture that it didn't have before because this Hunga Tonga volcano was an underwater volcano. And when it blew, it was a massive event. I mean, so significant that it would be probably 100 times the Hiroshima atomic bomb that was, set off in Japan. So huge event. And because it was under the water, when the molten rock and the water hit and touched each other, there was this immediate explosion of steam under the water, which lifted the water and the steam up into the atmosphere, and it shot it up there 36 miles up into the stratosphere. In fact, it even went to the next level of the atmosphere. But that moisture is in the stratosphere, and these research scientists have determined, or at least they're assuming, that that moisture will cause the Earth to be warmer. Now, we're already in this warming mode, and so it's going to be hard to separate out what is the current warming trend and what might be attributed to the volcano. But if you go back, first of all, those research scientists predicted that the impact on the world would be greatest in one of the 5 years that followed 2022, January 2022. So 2022 itself, we didn't see anything all that anomalous. 2023, everybody in the Northern Hemisphere is showing these charts where the temperatures were way outside of the trend. And so the speculation is that this was the year that was most anomalous. So this volcano, if the theories are right, the stratospheric moisture held in the air, the warm air, and helped to make the Earth a warmer place in 2023. Now, beyond that is a part of speculation that I have, because I've noticed a number of other things that have occurred. I'm a long-range forecaster. I have all kinds of tools that I use to try to guess what the weather is going to be like, you know, 6 and 9 months down the road. And those tools are useless most of the time anyway, but we think we know what we're doing. But what's interesting is that the tools that I use for 2023, I actually had high confidence of what I expected to occur because the tools were all pointed in the same direction and they didn't work. What happened in 2023 is the monsoon flow in the southwestern United States failed, except for about 3 weeks of the summer. Now, for just background information, the monsoon flow is nothing more than moisture that feeds up into the United States from Mexico. And it comes up into the southwest desert areas, and they get those afternoon showers and thunderstorms, and it goes into the Rocky Mountains. And eventually, the moisture works its way into the Midwest, and it helps to make it rain in the summer. Well, it didn't happen this year for a long time. Okay, so that's fine. We've had failed monsoons before, and I didn't really think too much about it. But then we started looking at South America, and the thing that's happening in South America right now is that Brazil's not getting any rain, and the reason is because its monsoon hasn't evolved. And these monsoons are like clockwork. They're always there, or they always have in the past. So we've gotten to the point where now we're watching Brazil experience the same kind of failure in the monsoon that we had here in the States. And so my theory is that this volcano that occurred a couple years ago may actually have much more influence on our atmosphere than what we know. And that maybe it's coincidence, I don't know, but perhaps the failure of the monsoon in the southwest U.S. and that which occurred in Brazil so far this year may be related to that event.
We're going to get enough rain to get that Mississippi River up to where those barges can move without an interruption.
Yeah, you know, no, I don't think it's going to happen right away, okay, because the weather pattern we've got coming up here for this autumn and winter is that it will be an El Nino year, which usually gives us a pretty strong northern branch to the jet stream. That's the branch that brings the cold air and the dry air across Canada and down into the Midwest. And when that's the dominating weather pattern, there's not a lot of moisture that comes with it. The way we get our moisture is when the storms come up from the south, right? And right. So we don't have any of that occurring when an El Nino event occurs to this level. Now, that's the situation for the next 6 weeks, let's say, taking us to the end of the year. When we get into January and February, especially February and March, the southern branch of the jet stream, which will run across the southern part of the U.S., will then become more energized. And we will start seeing storms develop in the southern plains and work their way through the Ohio River Valley. So that's when we could see some improvement on the rivers. Now, the upper Mississippi, it's, you know, we're stuck in this northwest flow. And regardless of what happens in the southern United States, we're still going to have low precipitation events. We might get a big storm once in a while, but it's not going to fix the river levels in the upper part of the Midwest. The Missouri River, same thing. But the Ohio will probably do better in the second half of winter with storms going through there, and that will lead to an improvement on the lower Mississippi. But the upper half of the Mississippi, I think we're going to be stretching for a while.
A little insight and a little bit of information. That was World Weather with Drew Lerner. He's the president and senior meteorologist. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, but reporting to you from NAFB in Kansas City.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke. In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
It is equivalent to 8 syringes. As long as your treatment is performed by a skilled medical professional, you should have the natural-looking results you desire.
Let your natural beauty shine through.
Visit us at rejuvenationclinicofsaukprairie.com.
Bringing home the bacon. Literally, this is the Midwest Farm Report.
Hey, let's get up to speed on what's coming our way weather-wise. Time for our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update on a Friday. Stu Mucker, Ag Meteorologist, stepping in. So it looks like it's going to be a little bit of a goofy weekend weather-wise, which is typical. A lot of folks heading to Wisconsin Dells for the Farm Bureau Convention. Tell us what you see right now, buddy.
Well, it's right there. There is rain just south of Wisconsin and scattering from Chicago and over toward the Quad Cities and down to southeast Iowa. Low pressure is trying to build northeast today. Currently still around, call it eastern Kansas, western Missouri. It's going to push northeastward into Illinois and Indiana. Some rain a possibility in southeast Wisconsin today or tonight. Maybe some snowflakes. That front that's along with that system kind of lingers. We'll see another low edging in so that later Saturday into Sunday, a mix of rain and snow possible. Nowhere will we see more than maybe an inch of accumulation totally, you know, a little bit if it happens in southeast Wisconsin today. And then some small amounts as we head through Saturday night or on into Sunday. I'll have forecast details right after this.
It's as simple as 1, 2, 3, friends. Buy your farm and ranch trucks from a certified agriculture dealership. Get $30,000 back in farm supply savings through AgPack. That's a 60% return on a $50,000 truck. Just go to agtrucktrader.com, register for your unique AgPack ID number, good to use at any certified ag dealer in the country for as many trucks as you want, and then search the inventory of only certified ag dealers all in one spot. AgTruckTrader.com.
Looking for row crop equipment? Steffes Group is conducting the Tice Brothers Farm Retirement Auction in Verona. Their clean, well-maintained equipment includes tractors, combines, headers, planters, and much more. This timed online auction closes Tuesday, December 5th at 1 p.m. Go to steffesgroup.com right now for photos and a complete list of equipment to be sold. Don't miss the Tice Brothers Farm Retirement Auction closing Tuesday, December 5th at 1 p.m. That's steffesgroup.com.
All righty, Stu, give me some more detail on that weather.
All right, mostly cloudy today. La Crosse, Mauston, really not going to see anything, and especially then Madison, Beaver Dam, and towards southeast Wisconsin may have a little light rain or some snow showers toward midday or into the afternoon, and not going to amount to much of anything. Temps still in the mid and upper 30s with the northeast winds about 5 to 15. Cloudy skies in that southeast part of the state, maybe a little light snow lingers in the night, a little dusting if we see it. I'd expect nighttime lows to drop down to 30, maybe a few upper 20s, north winds 5 to 10. Cloudy Saturday, not bad, upper 30s again with east winds at 5. But then late Saturday night into Sunday, a little mix of rain and or light snow developing. Cloudy skies, call it upper 30s, 37, 38. East winds become northwest on Sunday. And that Saturday night, Sunday, Pam, most of us may see a little dust of sloppy snow, but sprinkly rain, just kind of wet stuff is about what it should be.
All right, so the million-dollar question, quite literally, when it comes to it, insurance companies. Is it going to be icy glaze? Are we going to have to worry about black ice like we kind of encountered in areas last week? I mean, that gets problematic.
Well, those temps in the daytime ought to be, you know, upper 30s. That's not a big deal. But I think Sunday night after the new stuff falls, we drop into the upper 20s. That's when there could be some slick. So Monday morning may not be a real nice walk or drive.
Okay, good enough. We'll see what we deal with this weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday, okay?
All right, sounds like a plan.
Stu Mocker, ag meteorologist, keeping you posted on what's happening with the weather. It's all brought to you this Friday morning, courtesy of Compeer Financial. Compeer Financial is your financial partner, committed to agriculture and rural America, as always. You can find more at compeer.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Guys doing chores. How would that do on TikTok?
Sounds like you should be wearing like short shorts or something.
We're not going to exploit you in that way. I think it's more about your Q-tip action and
phrasing, Jane. The way you're saying it just sounds like one big double entendre.
Delicately in the crevices.
Oh, God.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates radio show.
Who's your Bob? Who's your daddy? What you got for us, Bob?
Look, you could dig Richard Nixon out of the ground right now, have him declare as a Democrat, and I would vote for him before I would vote for Donald Trump.
Dead Tricky Dick over Trump.
And I hate Richard Nixon.
The Devil's Advocates radio show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. After a seven-day humanitarian pause during which Israel and Hamas exchanged around 340 hostages and prisoners, the hostilities are back on.
Israel has always said, and it's made no secret of the fact, that once the hostage exchanges are over, it would resume the war. I mean, Netanyahu, his officials have said repeatedly that the goal of, in their words, defeating, destroying Hamas is still there.
ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge in Tel Aviv. Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville signaled that his 10-month-long blockade of high-level military promotions could be coming to an end as soon as next week. West Texas federal judge Alia Moses has lifted her order barring Border Patrol agents from cutting the razor wire Texas installed on the border with Mexico to keep migrants out, so that practice will resume. Texas immediately appealed. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A group of seven unions is filing a lawsuit to end the state's near-total ban on collective bargaining for public employees. The lawsuit was filed in a Dane County court on Thursday. The unions argue that Act 10 led to lower pay, staffing shortages, and poor working conditions. They say that because police and firefighters are able to collectively bargain, but teachers are not, Act 10 violates the state's constitution. Meanwhile, Wisconsin teacher pay isn't keeping up with inflation. A new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum finds that median pay for teachers in the state is 12% less than in 2009, adjusted for inflation. Teachers in Wisconsin's largest school districts got raises this year. It still doesn't appear to be enough to keep up with the cost of living. The median wage for teachers in Wisconsin is $59,000. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks lose in Chicago. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks were down by 12, but came back again in the fourth quarter. A nice three-point shot from Brook Lopez to take the lead. But Alex Caruso hits from three at the buzzer. The Bulls go on to win 120-113. It was Milwaukee's first overtime game this season. College hoops, it's the Wisconsin Badgers taking on the Marquette Golden Eagles tomorrow in the Kohl Center. Tip-off 11:30 a.m. Marquette ranked third in the nation. NFL, the Packers and the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. Packers defensive coordinator Joe Barry on facing Kansas City.
They're the defending world champs. I mean, they're going to get everyone's absolute best every single week, which you would think that would be the case regardless, but they're not going to sneak up on anybody and surprise anybody.
This will be the Chiefs' Patrick Mahomes' first time ever playing at Lambeau Field.
Going to Green Bay, playing in a great environment, which I'm really excited about, against a team that's playing really good football right now.
That's Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on Lake Air Radio, WLAK, 1260 AM.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy today, with daytime highs approaching 33. Northeast winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 21 tonight. Tomorrow, high of 35. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 13.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on Lake Air Radio, WLAK, 1260 AM in Amory. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Wisconsin, tune in for my brand new show, Nightlight, starting Monday, December 4th. Join me, Pete Schwabe, for conversations on the best in entertainment and culture every weeknight from 8 to 10. Nightlight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out?
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You got a chance to get to this game. Get your tail to this game.
Here we use a lot of F words: food, fiber, and farming. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
And frosty. If you take a look at our weather forecast, going to get a little crunchy out there starting later today. Our daytime highs for a Friday, probably around 37 degrees, but we've got a good 60% chance of snow, probably starting this afternoon into the overnight hours. Right now, they're estimating about an inch of snow, but it could differ depending on where you are. Saturday, cloudy skies and 40 degrees. Sunday is going to be interesting. We've got a 68% chance of rain or snow on Sunday. Hopefully earlier in the day for all the folks that are trying to head to Lambeau Field for the big Kansas City game. Daytime highs on Sunday around 38. Monday back to cloudy skies and 39 degrees. I'm PM Yankee. Really glad you're along with us. You know, that is a perfect example of Wisconsin weather. You never know what you're going to get. Wisconsin beekeepers have to work extra hard at this time of the year to keep their hives comfortable. Charity Seebecker will join us in a moment with a story about technology they call hive huggers that they're employing these days. That's going to be a fun one. Stand by. All right. So today is the first day of December. On this day back in 1884, fire raced through Science Hall on the UW-Madison campus. Engineering students were forced to use cramped space in their former dormitory of North Hall for the next four semesters, just trying to keep the curriculum moving forward. Fire through Science Hall on this day in 1884 on the UW-Madison campus. On this day in 1918, the Kingdom of Iceland was established. It was an agreement between Iceland and Denmark that lasted until 1944, when it became the Republic of Iceland. Side note here, Iceland, one of the biggest surprises in my life as far as our farm tour destination. I was thinking about that this morning. Now is the time when a lot of people, especially photographers, start going to Iceland to see the very vivid northern lights. Boy, it was a farm tour I will not soon forget. On this day back in 1953, Hugh Hefner published the very first edition of Playboy magazine. Do you remember who his first centerfold was? It was quite the deal back in the day. Marilyn Monroe, the magazine's first centerfold, published on this day in 1953. Happy birthday to actress comedian Sarah Silverman. She's 53. Bette Midler is 78, and Woody Allen turns 88 years young on this first day of December. And now you know. Well, like I said, this weather provides challenges for anybody in agriculture, anybody that owns any animals at all, right? If you're a Wisconsin beekeeper, you really need to step it up at this time of the year to keep your bees comfortable, fed, and warm. Charity Seebecker tells us how they're doing that.
As humans, we throw on extra layers, or maybe even bring out that heated blanket during the winter. But bees don't have that luxury. Enter the hive hugger. I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report. So what is the hive hugger exactly? Well, it's a game changer in keeping bees warm. Peggy DeSanto, the mastermind behind the award-winning Hive Hugger technology, says this all started with her love of nature and being a nurse.
Basically, it's two components. And for people who are really into beekeeping, there's sort of, do you ventilate to deal with moisture or not ventilate? And this is a non-ventilation system. It actually supports not having holes in the hive because there's too much heat loss. And so it's called a condensing hive, where this system encourages moisture to collect in the hive. But the key to sort of keeping that moisture from dripping down on your bees is you just need to super insulate the top of the hive. So the whole key to design and the science says super insulate the top of the hive, keeps it above the dew point, keeps the bees dry. You also insulate the sides, but not as much, so that there's a differential, so that when the dew point is reached in the hive, that dew point, the condensation happens on the cooler walls. So that is, in one simple sentence, the key to the design, and that's what science says. You know, don't ventilate, keep the heat in, let the moisture condense, because the bees need moisture for metabolizing honey and for drinking. But just control where it condenses. Keep it off the ceiling by super insulating the top. So the key components to the Hive Hugger, two pieces. The top panel is the most efficient insulation material on the planet ever made. 1 inch of this vacuum insulation panel is equal to like 10 inches of foam board. It's 10 times more efficient than any other insulation material. And the way it achieves that is by, it's a vacuum panel, so think thermoses. The reason vacuums are really good insulators is in a vacuum, there's no air molecules. And without air molecules, there can be no heat transfer. And if there's no heat transfer, then heat's not is not leaving, you know, whatever's insulating it. So the top panel is less than an inch, so it's actually an R32. So it's the equivalent of about 6 inches of foam board. So that heavy hitter top insulation keeps the top of the hive warm and it keeps it above dew point. And then the second component of the Hive Hugger system is just the wrap, the component that goes around the walls of the hive. And that is just off the shelf, Home Depot, 1.5 inch expanded polystyrene foam board, which gives about, it's our high density is about an R8. So R32 on the top combined with a wooden box and the insulation, you got about an R9 on the sides. And whether it's Tom Seeley or Etienne Tardif, the research says in northern climates, maybe zones 1 through 5, the research recommends R30 on top and 10 on the sidewalls, because that's the most closest configuration thermodynamically to what bees overwinter in nature. So when they studied like what the tree cavity is where bees choose their hives, it's about an R30 and an R10 and no upper ventilation. So again, the Hive Hugger simulates a natural tree colony and is based on the recommendations based on science.
That was Peggy DeSanto, developer of the Hive Hugger. She says being able to combine nature and nurturing others, in this case bees, is her primary goal. While she has this award-winning technology, she's just happy to support beekeepers. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Looking for row crop equipment? Steffes Group is conducting the Tice Brothers Farm Retirement Auction in Verona. Their clean, well-maintained equipment includes tractors, combines, headers, planters, and much more. This timed online auction closes Tuesday, December 5th at 1 p.m. Go to steffesgroup.com right now for photos and a complete list of equipment to be sold. Don't miss the Tice Brothers Farm Retirement Auction closing Tuesday, December 5th at 1 p.m. That's steffesgroup.com.
It's as simple as 1-2-3, friends. Buy your farm and ranch trucks from a certified agriculture dealership. Get $30,000 back in farm supply savings through AgPack. That's a 60% return on a $50,000 truck. Just go to agtrucktrader.com, register for your unique AgPack ID number, good to use at any certified ag dealer in the country for as many trucks as you want, and then search the inventory of only certified ag dealers all in one spot. agtrucktrader.com.
The excitement is building for the grand opening of the Food and Farm Exploration Center just off I-39 in Plover. This 50,000 square foot facility offers more than 60 hands-on learning experiences for people that want to learn about where their food comes from. It's also got the world's largest potato masher. Good luck to the Food and Farm Exploration Center having its official grand opening tomorrow off I-39 in Plover. We'll have a more of a detailed story on that fantastic space coming up next week. Markets not so fantastic on a Friday morning as we get started in the month of December. Our December corn down a penny right now at 460. March corn is down a penny at 481. January soybeans are 11 cents lower, currently at 1332. July new crop wheat, that's down 3 at 622. Dairy markets were mixed yesterday. Barrel cheese gained 2.5 cents on Thursday to 151. 40-pound block cheese was down a nickel at 154. Double A butter, that gained 3.25 cents, 265.5 per pound. The January Class 3 milk in Chicago this morning, up 6 cents at 1625. February is up 9 right now at 1667, 100 weight. Want to wish the very best of luck to the folks connected with the Food and Farm Exploration Center. That's located off I-39 in Plover. It is a science and technology center, more than 50,000 square feet of site dedicated to helping people understand more about where their food comes from. It's on 24 acres, features over 60 hands-on exhibits, demonstration farm fields, as well as beautiful meeting and event space. It's designed to be a destination for learning, exploring, and celebrating agriculture. And it's also home to the world's largest potato masher. They will open the doors for the grand opening tomorrow at the Food and Farm Exploration Center off I-39 in Plover. Good luck. All right, coming up next, celebrating 150 years in the same farm family's name, the Larsons in Brown County cap off our Friday Farm Show.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
It's the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin for a good reason. As a company founded by farmers, they understand the ag industry and its challenges. Local agents offer farm families the best advice and personalized coverage. Visit ruralmutual.com to find an agent near you.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Here, money grows in rows. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, and we've been honored to be a part of the celebration of farms that have been in the same family for more than 100 or 150 years. The Sesquicentennial Farm we are visiting with today has a long history of not only farming, but serving the country. Today's 150-year-old farm belongs to Charles Larson's family near Denmark, Wisconsin, in Brown County. He shares with us some fond memories of growing up on the land that he loves so much today. But first, we take it back to 1861, when his family first came to the United States.
N.P. Niels Peter went by N.P. Larson. His family immigrated from Denmark Denmark the country, to Denmark, Wisconsin. He came over with a group of Danish immigrants around that period that all settled in that area, and then they ended up calling the village Denmark. He was just young at that time. I think he was born in 1853 in Denmark, so he's about 8 years old. Around that time, he met a local girl in Denmark. Their family had also immigrated, the Rasmussen family from Denmark, a few years earlier than that. A few years later, they started courting, and they were engaged in 1873. And that spring, his future wife, Lena's dad, Mads Rasmussen, and N.P., they decided to buy a chunk of land near the both farmsteads just east of Denmark that was for sale. With Lena's father buying half and NP buying the other half, and then they got married in 1875. So after the marriage, Lena's father gifted over his portion of the land, and then NP and Lena became the sole owners. But basically, the farm started in 1873 when they were engaged. They started farming it from then on, and then NP and Lena became the sole owners in 1875.
What were they producing? Was it a little bit of everything? Was it dairy?
They were primarily a dairy farm. They had a small barn back then. I think they also grew some wheat. But in 1900 is when they built the current barn that still stands. It's actually two barns that are standing there. There's a south barn that they built in 1900. And I think they saw some records. $75 was what the purchase price was to build it. Probably be about $75,000 at least nowadays. It was a 28-stall stanchion barn, and like I said, they were milking cows, and 5 years later, they built an adjacent barn. It became basically on the south side of it, or north side of it, and it was a double-peaked barn to basically the same size as the current barn. Yeah, they continued just milking those 28 cows right up until the 90s. When my dad slowly got out of it, and he sold the dairy cows in 1997 and ran a replacement heifer operation for a few years, and then completely transitioned into cash crops, which is what I'm currently doing.
That's pretty incredible that those two barns are still standing today. You know, over the six generations, did the farm see any big events? Anything like that? Any stories you remember hearing?
Basically, they got through by, you know, just hard work. Pretty much every war that's happened up until even the Civil War, we've had a family member or direct descendant that's served in it. So that was kind of the biggest thing, is the kids or young men at the time that were helping on the farm, all of a sudden they were gone to fight in the wars. I think it was 1918 is when NP, he was elected to the state assembly for Wisconsin for the second district. And that's when basically his oldest son decided to buy the farm because NP wouldn't be able to run it anymore. Yeah, and then World War II, a lot of the sons of the second generation, they went off to fight in World War II. So it was a tough time then. Same thing with my dad. You know, when he came back from Vietnam a few years later, he decided to buy the farm from my grandpa. And then I served, and when I came back from the Navy, that's when I decided to buy the farm as well. So that's kind of been the running thing with the family, is the one of the sons goes off to fight in one of the wars that's going on, and then he comes back and he purchases the farm a few years later.
That's a pretty incredible tradition. Not everyone today gets experience growing up on a farm. The lessons we've learned from, right, you know, working with family and working with the land. Do you have any memories that you'd like to share?
I just remember when I was a kid, I thought I was the luckiest kid in the world. I thought it didn't matter how much money or how wealthy my family was. I thought that the fact that I got to grow up on this, and it's really a beautiful, beautiful farm. It's a tough farm. It's very small fields, but they're all bordered by tree lines. Like I said, we live on a river valley, they're very hilly, but it's just every field has its own personality. My wife came from upstate New York. I met her in the Navy, and she even says that too. The whole farm just has, from the buildings, the fields, and the legacy, there just has a story of its own, and the fields just have their own personality. They're any 10 feet and anyone in a field is different sand, soil, very nice ground when, and then there's rocks 10 feet away. So it's tough ground, but it's got such a big story to it. And I think that was the biggest thing I remember growing up, is just feeling how lucky I was to be there and to be part of it. And it was, my dad didn't think that I would, when I went off to the Navy, that I'd come back. My mom always knew, because she knew how much I loved the place, and that eventually I'd come back. It was just a matter of time.
What's next for the family?
I have a 15-year-old stepson who's starting to show some interest in it. And then I have two younger daughters, an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old. And it's the 6-year-old is starting to show a lot of interest. She always talks about being the next generation. And she always jokes that if she gets married to a man, he's going to have to take the last name Larson to keep it Larson Homestead. but other than that, we'll see. I would definitely never pressure them into anything. If it ends up being me the last generation, that's fine, too. We'll see how it goes, and I would definitely never pressure them into it, but if that's something they want to pursue, I'll definitely help them out as much as my dad's helped me and my grandpa helped him before.
Charles Larson telling us the story of his family's sesquicentennial farm near Denmark, Wisconsin, in Brown County. His family's farm is one of 30 to be recognized this year from the state of Wisconsin for being 150 years old. And I'll be the first to tell you that each of these farms has a very unique story on how they came to be and where they plan on going for the next 150 years. You can listen to more sesquicentennial farm stories and centennial farms at MidwestFarmReport.com. Courtesy of Compeer Financial. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
A Minnesota company mines protein gold from grain and oilseed leftovers. That's next on Farm to Fork. With its increased efficiency and lower fuel costs, ag producers know that propane is better for their bottom line. And now direct payouts can impact your bottom line with the Propane Farm Incentive Program. Participate and you could receive payouts like up to $5,000 for propane irrigation engines and prime power generators, and up to $2,000 for propane building heat systems. Apply today at propane.com/farmincentive. Cab to cab, season to season, there's only one way to do it all on your farm, Ag Leader It. Ag Leader offers the complete package of precision farming tools that connect your entire operation year-round. Planter, Ag Leader It. Sprayer, Ag Leader It. Combine, Ag Leader It. Farm data? You guessed it, Ag Leader It. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com for more information. Aparo Incorporated in the Minneapolis suburb of Eden Prairie is refining processes for extracting high-quality protein from crushed sunflower seeds. Carl Graydon is head of product and process development.
Our mission is more from less. And what that means, or how we put that into practice, is by finding underutilized crops, agricultural feedstocks, that we can upcycle into useful ingredients, primarily being protein.
For some time, says Graydon, the company was getting protein out of brewer's grains.
Brewer's grains are what's left over after the brewer has processed barley and other adjuncts into beer. And they're typically a waste product or a low-value feed with quite a high protein content still there.
Now, says Graydon, the company is shifting interest to sunflower seeds.
Sunflower seeds, other than what you buy in stores just to snack on, are primarily used for their oil content. And they're pressed at high heat with holes around. And so what's left over is this really low-value sunflower meal feed or waste product that still has a good nutritional profile there, but is really tough to turn into any useful ingredients.
The challenge, says Graydon, is keeping the quality of the proteins intact as they're extracted and processed. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What's going on, Wisconsin? It's Kristen Bry checking in to say hi and let you know, all things considered, my maternity leave's going great. Thank you for tuning in to As Goes Wisconsin on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app while I'm gone. Can't wait to be back to share mommy stories and get back to breaking down the never-boring Wisconsin news cycle.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
UpUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. Ceasefire over, a week-long truce.